case you missed it on our Instagram, we are throwing a charity game. Kick the Stigma is coming November 16th on our YouTube channel.
We're getting a bunch of Toronto influencers involved. If you want to see more information, you can click the first link in the description to donate and check out our Instagram in the coming weeks for updates. Over to the episode. Boys, Arsenal boys, what's the percentage chance that you guys win the league, you think?
35.
Feel a little nicer, no?
I was going to go 45.
Yes. I'd give it 45, 50.
Still 45?
I'm feeling good about you guys.
Did I say we'd win the league? I guess I did this year.
You did. You did. Yeah. You said, and I quote, this
oh
is
my
the
God.
Year.
This is the only time I've ever predicted us to win the league since we've had this podcast.
I'm already.
Only time.
I'm already triggering him.
So are you? Good. You know what? Hey, I'll be honest, lads. I thought it was over literally a week, 2 weeks ago.
There was a reality where Liverpool would be 8 points clear in the league right now as we speak. Yeah. And turns out Arsenal are actually leaders. So in terms of product, I think Arsenal probably have the most attractive football right now. Playing the most attractive football out of the favorites.
No, 100% agree. 100%
the narrative has shifted quite largely, hasn't it?
It's
almost like I saw Liverpool being absolutely shit for the entire season. You all laughed at me and said, oh, but it's Champions
League. I said
win.
They'd come third, buddy. I said they'd come third. I said that no matter how many like good players that you have in every position, no matter how good your collective 11 is, if the chemistry and the cohesion and the tactic fluidity like Arsenal have isn't there, then you're going to struggle and you're probably not going to win the league. That's what I said. And we're going to talk about Liverpool today. We're going to talk about Arsenal winning and being first in the league now. We're going to talk about Real Madrid. We're going to talk about Barcelona fumbling as well. We're going to talk about all the latest happenings in the football world. But welcome everybody back to the 6 Yard Box podcast. I'm here joined. I am joined here by Miles, Blake, European champion Antoine, back with another four-man. It's been a while since we had this, boys.
A quick thing. It feels like every time that there's new kids coming in, Miles shows up.
Yeah.
Oh.
I will say in my defense, I did not know we had kids coming today.
Yeah. Also in his defense.
Did you really?
He's
not rocking it. Fair.
Yeah.
Shout out to New Jersey's plug. He gave us a fresh batch today. You can go over to our Instagram story to see the pictures of the other two that we got. It was this one. Beauty. It was the Chelsea one. It was
the
Barcelona one.
And a Barca kit.
Yes.
Beautiful.
The Yamal Kobe one. That's a good one as well.
Indeed.
Lucky you.
Thank you.
Anyways, how you feeling?
Doing well. Can't complain. Top of the league going
just
into
on cloud nine right now. Yeah, Jays, you have Arsenal. Just
yep. Stop it. Going into international break, reading week coming up. Mm-hmm. Can't complain. It's good to be back. Missed talking footy in a proper setting with you guys. So I'm happy. I'm excited to hear Blake defending and his takes. As in a sense that like you said, like, was I right? And then you get to talk about on the pod. You know, I just like to sit here and listen and take mental notes. So yeah.
Actually, follow-up question. Mm. More chance Arsenal win the league or Jays win the World Series?
Oh, Jays win the World Series.
Yeah?
Bro. Yeah, we're a wagon.
So that's like 40% plus?
Yeah. It's
really?
I like those chances.
Yeah, it's looking sexy, I'd say.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, obviously I'm on cloud nine too because of the and, you know, Bournemouth as well. Since we can,
cannot forget. Because
we're allowed two teams, right? That's the thing. So I have Bournemouth and Arsenal. They're both doing well. So anyway, sorry. Okay, I'm done.
Let's start with Liverpool.
I'm not gatekeeping shit.
Let's start with Chelsea Liverpool.
Oh my God, guys. I've been waiting for this moment. I've been waiting since last week. I told all of you, I told every single one of you that these fucking Kopite rats were going to fucking lose a game. They were going to get what was coming for them. They have not played good football this entire season. They've scammed the referees. They've scammed 90th minute winners. And finally, I was going to say something, but I'm not going to.
Finally what?
Justice is served.
Finally what?
No, justice is served.
Okay.
This is what is meant to be happening. Their football hasn't been good. Their signings have not gelled properly. Slot hasn't had an answer to when the signings haven't gelled properly. So.
No.
Yeah, it's good.
For the first time under Arne Slot, Liverpool have lost 3 games in a row.
And I think this is the first time I'm going to say this on the pod, Blake. Shake my hand. You were right.
Well, not the first time. Not the first time that's happened.
Really? No, last time I didn't say you were
Rodrigo.
Right. I said my hands are up. There's a difference. This time I'm taking full accountability.
Fair play. Fair play.
Feels good, man.
And look, Liverpool's performances, the first couple, it's not that we were like completely delusional saying that like they're 100% going to win the league. Like they were pavering over the cracks, like 100%. And I was saying before the season started that like I don't trust this Liverpool team to gel in time if they're going to need like 90 plus points to win the league. And with the way Arsenal's playing right now, if City, you know, continues stacking on wins, then that's going to be the reality. And they are not living up to those expectations right now. They're not. They are not. Let's talk about this game. Estevao with a superb cameo coming on, scores the winner in the 96th minute. Absolute cinema. The seats were getting slammed. The atmosphere was going insane.
That's the one thing at Stamford Bridge. When they scored.
Yeah, they love doing that.
Incredible cameo from Estevao. Completely changed the game. In a period of the game where Chelsea were kind of seemed like they were taking the back foot. Liverpool looked like they were on the front foot after Gakpo's equalizer.
Yeah.
But then Estevao comes on and just creates so much for them. It did so much good for Chelsea. And then he's ultimately rewarded with a great goal at the end.
Just every time the ball went to him, something happened. Whether it was a cross, dribble around a player, or obviously the goal that or the cross that he ended up being on the end on.
You almost forget that he's in Chelsea just because of how many wingers they have. But
yeah.
What an offensive weapon that they've found.
I mean, hey, it's about time one of these young wingers that they have is like gonna take the reins. Maybe it can be him. I mean, like, really take the reins.
It really looks like
grasp that left wing spot, or I guess whatever wing he's playing on.
Mm-hmm.
Grasp the winging spot and just go and just become the number one player. There's none of this rotation with Neto or Bino Gittens or whoever. It's just him.
Also, I
mean, at this point in the season, it almost seems, and maybe this is a little bit reactionary, but from what Estevao showed in that little period of time when he came on, it almost seems like the two winger spots should be absolutely locked in for Chelsea now, because Gittens hasn't been playing well. Garnacho hasn't been playing well. Yeah. So I think Pedro Neto and Estevao on both wings, I think that's the answer.
100%. Yeah. If you're getting 10 wingers for 50 mil each, look, you're deep in the hole, but at least two of those are going to do well.
Yeah.
So there
according
you go.
To SofaScore, they bought him from Palmeiras for only 34 million euros.
Damn.
Well, I mean, only is.
And he was like 16, 17 at the time.
Yeah. Only at 16, wait, euros. 17 so then pounds is more. Is
it
so
would be less. Like. So it would be like
27.
30. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Still, I mean, 18, if he's going to be as good as you guys saying, he's going to be good. 34.
I mean, that's
like going to be worth it. That's Trump change, so. It's going to be worth it.
Yeah. Is there a reality in which Chelsea can actually win the league?
No. They're currently seventh. They're 5 points, 6 points, 5 points off top.
Well, I was going to say, like, they had a tough start to the season, and now coming off the international break, they're going to have a great run of fixtures. I just think, like, in games like the Brighton result, where they lost, kind of choked it away, and in games like the United one, they've kind of shown some instances of where they don't really have like the experience, the composure that you need to really start stacking the wins together. So I think there will be times where that bites them in the ass again, but maybe hot take, I'd actually give them more of a chance to go on and win the Champions League.
Have they had a tough start to the season? It was Palace, West Ham, Fulham.
That's Palace, great team.
Well, I mean, I thought you meant tough start to the season as in their performance.
Do you mean performance or like?
Yeah. That's kind of what
I thought you meant like their start hasn't been that. And then Brentford. I mean, obviously the United result was tough for them, but red card. I don't know. They really
I have to agree with you, Julian. I mean, the Premier League is won and lost against the smaller teams, if we're honest. Against the Brightons, against the Sunderlands. And if Chelsea consistently drop points against the teams that they should be able to beat, the teams that bigger teams do beat, like Arsenal, like Liverpool, well, Liverpool lost to Crystal Palace, but you get my point, then that's where Chelsea can go wrong. That's where it can go wrong for Chelsea.
Yeah. It will need a lot of big dogs to trip up a lot.
Yeah, I don't think they're mature enough yet to really contend for the Premier League. But with the young squad they have in a couple of years, it could be a monopoly.
100% it could. 100%. And that takes me on to Caicedo, who I want to say a quick word about because, wow. Yeah. I'm not even just talking about the goal. Just like his overall performance as well.
Yeah, he can do a job.
He can definitely do a job.
He can do a job.
Like him in the midfield with Malagusto, who would have thought that would ever work? But like their counter-pressing and the way that they squeeze Liverpool into these tight spaces, retrieve the ball, and create chances off of it, fantastic. And then obviously when you're able to pull off a banger like Caicedo did, then, I mean, what more can you ask for?
Especially when Van Dijk gives you all the time in the world.
Yeah, but, I mean, how many times has Van Dijk done that in his career where he just absolutely just spins around and tries to block a shot?
Yeah, like, I don't know. We gotta discuss Van Dijk here, man.
We will. We will in a second. Just real quick, still on Caicedo. I don't think I've ever seen the narrative of a player or what people think of a player switch as fast than with Caicedo. I remember what he was at Brighton. Everyone was super high. And then when he first signed for Chelsea, there was a little bit of doubts there.
People horrible were saying, debut. I remember that.
Horrible debut. Remember the horrible debut? The price tag, obviously. Yeah. And it wasn't all flowers at the beginning. It wasn't all fun for Caicedo.
No, for the first year, it was like first year pretty harsh Caicedo, on
it. It wasn't great at all. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what happened, but ever since, he's completely flipped the switch, and everybody knows now that he is among the best defensive midfielders in the world.
Yeah. People are definitely too harsh on him.
100%. Oh, 100%. Yeah. I think that might come with the price tag, and we might see something similar with a certain Florian Wirtz, who you are very low on right now. But wow.
I mean,
that's for another conversation.
I still remember when United were under Ollie, and we were linked to Caicedo, who's still playing in South America at the time, for $6 million. I remember that. And we needed a CDM at the time. So I was like, we need to go buy this kid. We need to go buy this kid.
Like, you always need somebody.
Low-key, you know who, y'all's biggest regret should be was letting go of Ranić.
Yeah.
Not as like, maybe like not as a manager, but like I feel like his recruitment ideas were so sound.
And now like he had so many players that he really pushed hard for Man United to sign in the short months that he was here. One of them was like Julian Alvarez was one of them. Conrad Laber, Sabitzer.
I remember
Holland
was a really very interesting close one, because when he was in Norway, obviously Ollie has the connection there. So Ollie was like pushing hard for the Holland signing. And then, I was going to say he came and toured Old Trafford. No, that was actually Jude Bellingham. We've missed out on a lot of big guys, haven't we? Yeah. I mean, like a lot of these big players that we eventually missed out on, but then you really think about it, would they have been the big players that they are now if they came to United?
Maybe not.
Who freaking knows? Look what Hoyland's doing right now.
Yeah.
How well regarded would he be if he didn't go to United two years ago? So, anyways, back to Liverpool. So where do you want to start?
Where do y'all want to start?
I think the defensive issues need to be addressed here.
Well, I mean, Kanate's had a mare of a season.
Yeah.
And he's partly to blame for the Caicedo goal as well. But he looks shaky with the ball at his feet. He doesn't look comfortable tracking players. He looks unsure of where to go when he's marking back on a fast break. I don't know. It's very strange for me to see someone look so out of their depth when they've been so solid. And then with Van Dijk's still Van Dijk. It's obviously a bad play, but he does have this tendency to allow players space. There is this narrative about him that he doesn't like to close players down because he doesn't want to get dribbled by. That's how this memes online go, oh, look, this is how Van Dijk has that record of never being dribbled by, because he doesn't close down players.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
And on that goal specifically as well, I think you can say that he's trying to mark Malo Gusto, but I think any good defender knows that he would already be marked in that area of the pitch.
Covered.
And he already is covered by Kerkez on that side of the pitch. But if you want to talk about Liverpool's defensive problems, it really worries me because of who are the potential replacements for like a Konate who came off injured, if I'm not mistaken, or he's injured right now. Mm. If that injury, obviously he's not having a good season right now, but if that injury persists, if that injury is long-term, I look at the backup for Liverpool and I see Joe Gomez.
Yeah.
And I see who they were linked to this summer, Mark Gahey. How much would Liverpool benefit from a Mark Gahey right now?
Right? How different would this season be already?
How different would this be with a Mark Gahey right now? I'm not saying he would fix all their problems, but I'm sure that he would probably be a solution to a poorly bad playing Konate.
You know what? I have no sympathy whatsoever. Because you went out. No, I don't.
You know what?
No.
That doesn't surprise me.
Neither, you don't have to have sympathy. And neither should you two. You want to know why? Because this team went out and bought Hugo Ekitike to replace Darwin Nunez.
Yep.
But then when they realized that Isaac was available, they shunned him to the dirt and they brought in Isaac. This team brought in $150 million or £1 million center attacking mid. They spent money in other positions. And then when they were going to get Gahey, Glasner was like, no, screw you. That's not happening. This is our guy. I'm leaving if you sell him. Crystal Palace board. I don't have any sympathy for a team that spent $400 million on three players, and now you're saying, oh, you know what? Imagine they had their one center back. Too bad.
We're not saying we have sympathy. You don't have to have sympathy. We're just posing the question on how different they'd be.
Acknowledge how different it can be.
Sure, and I can acknowledge that they probably should have prioritized that center back more than getting Isaac when you already had Agatike, or getting Agatike when you knew Isaac could have been available.
It's a very good analysis. It's fair. Yes, absolutely. It is fair.
Like you said, Konate's had a mare of a season so far. I hate them. Just so logically, if you put in Mark Gahey, who's had a positive start to the year, then Liverpool are probably better.
And you know, I don't know why I'm yelling. I just hate them. Like, guys, I actually hate Liverpool so much. Like, I think they're so unlikable. So unlikable.
Like, we're not saying that to make an excuse for them, dude.
Like, genuinely, who's likable in Liverpool? Who's likable? Salah's not likable.
Ekitike is very likable.
Ekitike is likable. Isaac's not likable. Wirtz is easy to hate on. Van Dijk's easy to hate on.
Well, they're easy to hate on because you're an Arsenal fan. No.
Salah's not likable. Isaac's not likable. Wirtz shouldn't be likable, if I'm honest. But
you wanna hate on a Liverpool signing? You should hate on Jeremy Frimpong.
I was gonna bring that up.
Him too, man.
I mean, you want to talk about defensive problems? Why is it that you signed a right back to replace Trent and you're not even playing him at right back?
You're playing Dominic Szoboszlai there before playing your weird big money signing. That's the thing. Like, I think Jeremy Frimpong is a fantastic player, but it's just clear as day you can't trust him in these big games. That's why Szoboszlai was even on the field to score that wonder goal in the Arsenal game. Like, it gives to the larger problem of Liverpool right now is that there's just zero chemistry, too many changes game to game, and Arne Slot just cannot figure out what his best 11 is and what system best fits that 11 to get the maximum amount of points. And Jeremy Frimpong is such a symptom of that.
It's clear as day to me that something needs to change for Liverpool, and Arne Slot needs to find something that is different, because 1,000%. In this game specifically, there's no Wirtz, there's no Ekitike. He tried to, quote-unquote, go back to what it was last season in a way. He tried to go back to the same thing that it was last season. But it didn't work.
Yeah.
And when he tries to put Wirtz in, when he puts Ekitike in against Crystal Palace, it doesn't work. Yeah. He left out Salah in the Champions League against Galatasaray. It didn't work. So something, he needs to find something new, because it's not working. Whatever was working last season is not working, and whatever he's trying to make work right now isn't working
either. Yeah, and I think that's a really good point. And again, my hatred and my... my clowning of Wirtz comes from the fact that this guy should be the system. He should slot into that number 8 attacking midfielder role and just become the guy to unlock this system. He should be the guy that you lean on in this stretch of the season to help you get out of this run that you're on. But he's not that guy right now. You spend that much money on him, and you guys can say give him time, whatever. But at some point, if you're not looking at Salah, you know that he's very susceptible to ghosting and just being able to pop up with the goal. But if he doesn't have an impact on the rest of the game, what is he really doing? Who else are you going to rely on? That's why you spend $150 million on a player like that.
Yeah.
And you can say give him time. You could say he has the most chances created in all of the Premier League so far. That's great. That's wonderful. You need him to step up and score goals and get assists and have a bigger blatant impact on the game if you want Liverpool to get back to on top of the table. And I don't think that there's any denying that.
The goal scoring part, I do agree with you. I think he probably should be more responsible. He should probably get more responsibility in terms of goal scoring.
Yeah.
But the assist part, it's not, I don't think it's his fault. I think the problems go much more beyond Florian Wirtz. I think the biggest problem is Mohamed Salah. I have no idea what's happening with Mohamed Salah right now, but man, he looks like a shell of himself. If someone fell in a coma for 10 years and watched that game against very, very, very deep stretch and watched that game against Chelsea, and you told that person that Salah walked all over the Prem in his previous years and is probably one of the best right wingers the Premier League has ever seen, he doesn't believe you for 1 second.
Yeah.
I don't know what is going on with Mohamed Salah right now. I don't know if it's because he got his contract. I don't know if it's because he got paid. He seems either complacent or lazy. I can't pinpoint it.
He's 33 now.
He is 33, but last year he was 32. Fuck. I mean, it's not a.
Yeah.
I know, but we've been talking about Salah falling off or having the little drop off these past couple of years. So like, I think now that it may or may not be finally coming, but it's not unnatural for it, right?
It seems drastic though.
It is very drastic.
The fall off. That's fair. It's a plummet at that point.
He just squeezed everything he has out for one last year.
The chance that Wirtz gave him in the second half, where he slides him through one on one, or not one on one, but Salah usually scores that goal. Curler past the keeper, sends it to this guy. There's another opportunity in that game where he has his trademark curler that he can score, and it goes over the bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his playmaking isn't much better. I don't think we need to put the blame on Virts. I think we need to look at the people that Virts is feeding that aren't scoring. I think Virts would have 3 or 4 assists at this point if it wasn't for the poor offensive.
That's a good point. It's a good point, Anton.
Or the lack of offensive ability.
It's a good point. Still though, 008. And what's the AI thing that's been like killing Virts these past couple of days?
Vigil AI.
Double O Nine.
Maybe the worst Champions League professional athlete.
Jesus, man. Jesus. Wow.
This is what I'm saying. Like
Virts versus Vigil AI, biggest rivalry.
It's just season. Like it's fun to banter, but at the same time, he's a fine player. You're right. He's a good player.
Yes.
But very good I would like to see.
What is going on, first of all?
What?
Blake admitting Virts is a good player.
He's obviously, like, you don't spend $150 million on a bad player. But, like, I think the narrative is probably somewhere in the middle. How, where you're defending him and how drastic I am to the other side, it's probably somewhere in the middle. Where, like, he does need to do better. But I think price tag does matter. Like, price tag has always mattered. That's why he's not worth $10 million. If you signed him for $10 million, he was starting, then you'd probably be like, you know what? He's had a great little cameo. He seems not too far off it.
No.
But you pay premium money for premium performances. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
You pay Isaac all that money. You paid Newcastle all that money for him to score. Not to like get an assist today to Gakpo. You pay him to score. Simple as.
It's another player we can talk about, but I feel like we can talk about every single Liverpool player this season so far and how bad they've been.
Absolutely.
And it's not even over for them. It's they're 1 point behind Arsenal. Yes.
I mean, I think anybody getting carried away with Arsenal guaranteed, quote unquote, to win the league is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I said at the start of the year that they definitely have a rough start to the year, but like we just don't know if it's going to pick up for them and they're going to gel, or if it's just going to be like it was in the first couple of games of the year where it's just going to be pavering over the cracks. Yeah. You know,
the international break couldn't have come at a worse time for an Arsenal fan, because at this point you just want Liverpool to just keep failing.
Yeah.
Now they have a reset and it's probably really good for them, unfortunately.
But let's move on to Arsenal then. You had a little calm, collected, comfortable performance, 2-0 against West Ham.
You know, the last two seasons we've lost home to West Ham. In the last, both of the last years.
Really? Right? True.
Yeah.
1-0
Was it 1-0 last
year?
Bowen goal?
Yeah.
That was bad.
Like, isn't that,
I was
is
there.
That stupid?
Was fucking.
Isn't that stupid?
Is this a good omen?
I mean, like, it's a bit of our, like, Newcastle away, bogey performance.
Sure. Yeah.
Bogey team. West Ham at home, bogey team.
That's true.
It was good, Miles, wasn't it?
It was great. I mean, it was like, I don't know. I felt kind of like chill, like at ease. Like, I was just like, like job done.
Yeah.
Let me enjoy the rest of my weekend.
Yeah.
It was good though. Still, like, obviously not everything was like, not, I'm sorry. Good things to talk about. Also some other things that we could discuss that weren't so great, but
yeah,
I mean, you know, I'm not worried. Are you worried? I'm not worried.
No, man. I mean, the team is, honestly, the biggest worry is how Odegaard's health is a big worry.
Do you know that I'm pretty sure I saw a stat. The past 3 Premier League games he started, he hasn't made it to halftime on the pitch.
What?
Yeah. It's bad.
Like, how fucking sad
it's
is
bad.
That?
And you know what? Like, he's been really
He's kind of been picking it up. Like, against Olympiacos.
The CL text, he's like, Odegaard's moving me, man.
Yeah,
Odegaard was moving me.
Eze's still there. Like, he also needs, I think, a little more time.
Should have scored.
And, like, I think they had different styles, different...
Yeah.
Different
I don't think they should be start. I don't think Arteta should... I think Arteta should be starting Eze on the wing, and Trossard should be coming off the bench still.
But now...
Trossard is so good off the bench.
But now we don't have a winger, and we don't have...
Any, yeah.
So I don't know. This break is good for Arsenal, too. I mean, we could talk about Gyökeres and... You know, there is some things missing there.
We can keep it short because, like, I think it's calm, collect. Like, there's not many like massive criticisms or conversation. Yeah,
Gabriel's
about this game,
best center back in the league. And
we can have that conversation. Yeah. I think so. But talk to me about Gyökeres. Are you worried about Gyökeres?
No, like, not at all. And
you did captain him in FPL.
I did.
What was the thought process there?
You know what? I wanted a differential one. I thought Haaland would have. Not a hat trick, which, to be fair, he didn't.
Yeah, subpar Haaland performance.
And then
On Friday, I actually went to change it back because I was like, I'm an idiot. And apparently, Bournemouth
your other
played
team
on Friday.
Screwed you.
Yeah, but no. Shout out Bournemouth. No, I'm not worried about Gyökeres. I do think he needs to score because that's what we pay him for. And I'm not in the, you know, I'm not in the Liverpool camp of, you know, performances are great. They are great, but you need to score if you're a striker.
Is the hold-up play good?
The hold-up play has been good for the most part besides West Ham. That's it. Like, I've been happy with his performances so far. Like, he's had a couple of chances in the Olympiacos game that I would have liked him to score. Obviously, he had the three goals already in the Premier League. Like, he needs to score next game. Genuinely. He just does. But
you said he needs to score against West Ham.
I did, and he didn't. But now, and like, but that's the thing. Ultimately, you don't. If you're winning the game, then I can't complain. And Saka probably should have gave him.
I thought he should have given him
the pen.
Yeah.
And if he scores that pen, like, we're probably not even talking about this, if I'm honest.
I know you're so pissed when Saka took the pen.
Which is, I was a little, but it's crazy.
I'll tell you who was. I was like 10 points missed out on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, because it's like my star boy and it's like my new love. Like,
yeah.
Which one do I want more? I don't know, man. I just want them to like do it together.
If Gyökeres is your new love, then who will lead this?
Brace against Leeds.
See, you're such a hater.
I'm not a hater.
Isn't this crazy, though? This is my thing. He's giving, you know, give where it's time. Give like didn't even say anything about Isaac, but the minute it's Gyökeres, no, who's already scored three Premier League.
I'm not.
But you're just like I said. This is why I say agenda because you guys do like to poke more fun at Arsenal. You just do. It's an objective fact.
I'm defending Virs because I see a player in there,
and you don't see a player in Gyökeres.
No.
That's you're just crazy.
It is harder to see a player. It's
oh my god, you guys are crazy.
But they're different.
No, I see profiles. I see players in both of them.
I see a goal scorer in Gyökeres who will bag you 15 goals in the league. Great against the small teams. Good. But I see a very technically limited player, and we've had this conversation before.
Bro, what do you want him to be? Do you want him to be R9? Like, what do you? I want him to score goals, which he can do. Hold the ball up, which he's done decently well so far. And like, honestly. Spread the play when he needs.
If you look at you guys well. Would have been much better, in my opinion, with Hugo Ekitike in your team right now.
Yeah, but we were never even linked with him, really.
But I'm saying
it was him or Šeško.
You want to compare two signings? I see much more of a player in Hugo Ekitike and his technical ability and what he can provide for Liverpool going forward, even on the goal scoring front. Then I see
but Liverpool need creativity at their top because Salah's not providing it. Gakpo isn't really super creative.
The way that you guys play also requires your striker to have.
No, we need a hold up player, and that's what he can be a target man. Okay. Gyökeres can be a target man. Okay. The fact that you're so, I don't know, like that's just crazy to me, man. I want him to prove you wrong so bad because there's such a good player in there, and all I want from him is like I want him to be baby Haaland.
Also, if he gets 15 league goals. Like, that's fucking good, Antoine. Like, yes, all we've said the past couple of years, it's not even, like, Arsenal need, like, an R9 to win the league. No, they just need a striker.
Yeah.
They just need more conventional option than Kai Havertz there. That's all they needed. Yeah. Like, that's why they sent in 40 mil in January for Ollie Watkins, because, like, they just needed a guy there. Like,
agreed.
Honestly, like if Arsenal let's say this season, right? If their rest of the team is still playing well, they could have like Danny Welbeck up there. He gets you like 10 Prem goals and you still have a good chance of winning the Premier League just because of that's the profile. That's the kind of player you just needed. You just needed some guy in there that could do that job reliably and not get injured every couple of weeks like Jesus. Like, that's it. So if Gyökeres is even like, you know, if he lives up to like 2/3 of the expectations, then trophy-wise, performance-wise, as a team, Arsenal will probably be fine. I am still on your train, though, saying that he does look technically limited, because I have seen that. I've seen that. But also, he doesn't need to be technically limited all the fucking time. They were fine in this game. It's a good performance.
Performances in big games. That's all I want from him. No. I need him.
Do you want to see that from Beers,
too? If they win...
Absolutely, and I've said that.
Okay. Like, when City won the treble... And people were calling Jack Grealish a flop. No City fans were really worrying about that.
Yeah, we win the Prem.
If they win
the
Prem or the Champions League and we're calling Gyökeres a flop, then maybe we both win. Yeah. I don't know.
No, I think he wins.
I think he doesn't mind Gyökeres being
who
a flop.
Who does Arsenal play? Arsenal plays.
You go to Craven Cottage next. Another tricky fixture.
Gyökeres is scoring. Mark it right here. I guarantee Victor
Charles
Gyökeres
Barkley
will
guarantee?
Score a goal. I guarantee.
Hit it like that.
What?
Guarantee!
Where's that from?
Charles Barkley. You know?
Oh, like Charles Barkley, like NBA on TNT.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. I mean,
okay.
I think you're.
But I do guarantee.
I think you're proving my point here, Blake. I'm not going to lie. Yes, Jokic is going to score against 14th place Fulham guys.
Good what is him. Your problem?
Good dude. For him. I mean, like, what's the, you're proving my point.
Yeah, that he can score in the Premier League.
He can
and
score
the best
goals in the Premier
world?
League. I said he was going to bag goals against the.
No, one hasn't scored a fucking goal all season. Who? Your fucking boy, Florian Wirtz. Yeah, like he hasn't fucking scored all season. But you know, oh, of course. But you, but there's nothing in. But then, oh, it's rage bait. It's rage bait. It's rage bait. No, you're just you just look stupid. Like genuinely,
I look stupid.
Yes, you do, bro. You do. You look stupid.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. Like, I just don't understand. If you want to rage bait me, sure, go ahead. But like,
I'm not
at the same
you.
Time,
just,
this guy, Gyökeres, has not been the fucking worst just, player in the league, hasn't been the worst signing, hasn't been the worst striker. Like, he just hasn't.
I'm not rage baiting you. You just indirectly agreed with what I said.
That I said he's going to score against Fulham?
Yes.
Would you want him to not score?
No. I. But
so what do you want? What do you want me to say? You want
but,
me to not?
But that's exactly my point, though, Blake.
Yeah, you're
he scores against the bad teams. He scores against the
Julian the just said that's a teams. Julian just said that's a tricky fixture.
Okay,
one
if Fulham is a tricky fixture.
What do you want me to do?
Race,
is
then,
not
sorry,
expect my player to score? You know, actually,
person.
No. By Antoine's logic, fuck Fulham. You know what? He's not scoring. Atletico Madrid, that's a bigger team. He's going to score there instead. Is that what you want me to do?
I'm not, I better? Think he should score in every game, but I'm more excited to
no,
see
I don't,
him perform
no, but
in
the big
games.
Yeah, I should only ask him to score in the big games, what you just said, to prove your point right. So
you are completely
I lied. I don't guarantee the Fulham.
Right
no, no, no.
You are
no, no, no. That's what you said.
What
no, no, no. That's what you
no,
said.
No, it's
that's
not,
what you
though.
Said.
It's just not.
I'm just trying to get on your logic,
okay.
Antoine.
Okay. Well, if you think that's what I said, then that's what I said.
Gyökeres is scoring against Fulham. He's going to. I hope he scores against Atletico, too.
Good for
and
him.
I can shut him up. I
good
can shut
for
this
him.
Guy
he'll
up.
Score against Fulham.
And I hope we good win the league
him.
So I can fucking laugh in your everyone's faces.
Good for him. He'll score against Burnley, too.
That's yeah, I hope
him.
He does.
Good
I hope
him.
He was.
That is good.
You know, I hope Wirtz does anything in the league at this point. Because,
that's good.
You know, the one guy who costed $150 million doing nothing and is getting no hate from this lad. But, you know, Arsenal agenda, so I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised.
Moving on. Unless there's anything else
I'm
to
good,
say.
I'm good. I'm all good.
Right.
Top of the league, motherfucker.
All right.
So
we're
crazy.
Top of the league, looking
so
down.
So rattled.
When Ethan Mbappe just scored against your team, and
yeah.
I'm looking down on everyone else.
Champions of Europe, by the way.
Yeah. Champions of Europe. Last year.
Yeah, he says it every day, though.
Yeah. Because
yeah.
you
I'm reminded
colluded
every day.
Him. I know. We're talking about this year, though. I don't look in the past. I look forward.
Okay, who's top of the Champions League table?
Is he?
That's
Bayern.
It's Bayern, but...
I mean, so are we, though.
Yeah,
we two and two, so...
Moving to Spain. Moving to Spain. Barcelona embarrassingly lost 4-1. We
wow.
talked about this, guys. I want that same vitriol that you
yes.
were putting on Gyökeres to go
yes,
to Barcelona
please, please.
As well.
I mean, absolutely. What a shock.
I like that.
Is this a shock for you guys?
Yeah, what the fuck? How did this happen? Please break it down.
I think the game against PSG conditioned this loss for Barcelona.
Mm. In what way?
I think it was a pivotal time in their season, and losing to PSG in the way that they did against the B team, against the youngsters, against Mbai, against Mayulu, against Njuntu.
That's embarrassing. Yeah.
Njuntu? Who's that?
Njuntu.
Lamine's age.
Really?
Yeah.
But like on a conventional timeline of now just making his
yeah,
debut in football
exactly.
instead of being the best player in the
yeah,
world.
I think that affected them in a way. Obviously, their misses, the players that they missed in this game, I think is what also made them lose the game because you don't have Lamine Yamal, you don't have Rafinha. The way that Barcelona play is not suitable for the players that they have when these players like Lamine Yamal and Rafinha are out.
Yep.
Barcelona, since last season, since Flick has been in charge, are always the team that score one more goal than you.
Mm-hmm.
They've always operated with that suicide high line. It was exposed against Sevilla.
It was.
On Sunday. But you don't have the players that you are used to having that absolutely kill teams in La Liga and that score the goals that you need them to score.
Yep.
It might have been a 5-4 game if the players were in, if Lamine Yamal, if Rafinha, if the goal scorers of your team, the players that walk over defenses, La Liga defenses, are in the team.
I think what really changed this game is your boy Blake missing his penalty. It was 2-0 to Sevilla. Barcelona
no,
bring it back to 2-1. And then they get a penalty that Lewandowski puts wide.
Yeah.
And at that time, it's 2-2. And then Barcelona aren't pushing as far forward like they were at the end of this game. And they don't get their two late goals, Sevilla, to make it 4-1. Like, obviously, the score line was 2-1 for, like, 99% of the game. Mm. It is a harsh score line. But, like, Sevilla did look the much better team in the
Sevilla
first half.
Sevilla brought it to them.
They absolutely brought it to them. I think Barca was better in the second half. Maybe if Lamine was here for this game, then it would have been different. But hey, guys, if that's, I think, you know, sexual health is important, guys. Make sure to get tested. You know, kill the stigma. It's actually make crazy, sure you get tested.
It's actually crazy.
Wait, is that what it's?
Oh yeah. It was a pubic injury, but once again.
Isn't that crazy?
How Wait, but is it it's you think a it's recurring like, one? You think it's like a sexual
like it could be his groin. Would it not line up? Would it not line up?
Yeah, with what? Yeah, it would. It
Wait,
would.
So he's still 17, right?
He's 18.
Oh, he's 18 now.
Okay, yeah. So we can
he's good.
I just didn't want to incriminate some like Spanish supermodel or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I guess you could say the Lewandowski penalty kind of conditioned the game in a way. I'm not a fan of how he takes his penalties, by the way.
They're kind of weird.
They're so he does every combination of penalty taking in one run-up. He does the slow Neymar walk-up, the Bruno Fernandes hop, and the... it's dumb.
He's missed a couple penalties for Poland, too, and it's like, what are you doing? Like, just stick it in the top bin.
He's trying to be too cute with it.
Yeah.
You know who took a penalty like that this week? Was Nick Voltamata.
Yeah.
And I was...
Yeah,
I was like, oh, I saw how that turned out.
It looked weird though. His penalty, I low-key thought he missed, and I was like, damn, it was good.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Boys, do you think Barcelona, like,
yes,
is Barca too inconsistent to win any major title this year?
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either.
Because is this kind of a case of them getting found out by these teams? Flick's been there a year. The high line is kind of getting figured out a little bit.
I mean,
is this going to cost?
There is a sense of, yes, they are getting found out. I think I mentioned this for the Premier League, but to win a championship, you need to perform against the smaller teams. And I think for La Liga, it's probably the most evident case of that because you can lose against Real Madrid. You can lose against Atletico Madrid, but all the other teams are well within your reach. Like, you should be beating all these other teams.
And
so the league is won and lost against teams like Sevilla, against teams like Getafe, against teams like Osasuna.
That's fair.
So, yes, you could say that they got found out. I think it's very difficult to play the way that they did with the pieces they're missing. That's what I was trying to say earlier.
Yeah.
But then if you back up, then you're just playing the Xavi ball. You're just playing the football that you were playing in the Xavi.
That's fair. Yeah, I think my point was kind of what you just said. Like, if their injuries continue to haunt them, then that's one thing. And that's obviously going to hinder any team, especially with Barcelona. But when their attack is flowing, it's pretty much unstoppable. They just haven't really hit that level this year yet.
No.
And it's probably going to come back. I don't think it's going to just dissipate after what it was last year.
So. And Barca have had a good start to the year. Like, are we overreacting? Maybe a little bit. I think this is their first drop point of the season. No, they had a draw earlier in the year. But yeah, like, they were, after Madrid's loss last week, Barca were first in La Liga, only dropping,
you know, and I was here asking when Real Madrid would be league leaders again. I was finding it very hard to believe that Real Madrid would be league leaders. Wow, that's in a long time because...
Yeah.
I was looking at the fixtures for Barcelona and the fixtures for Real Madrid, and I was finding it very difficult for Real Madrid to be top of the league again. But, I mean, a week later, they're top of the league again.
So, we have a title race on our hands, boys. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. In the Prem and La Liga, we have a title race on our hands.
We have a Clásico in three weeks, I think, or in 2 weeks.
On the 26th.
Odds I actually watch that one, I have to.
You have, bro. Come on. I mean, if there's one you need to watch in La Liga, it's that one.
I know. Where do you watch it again?
TSN.
Yeah, it's on normal TV.
Oh, I don't have TSN.
Fair enough. It's 2025. I can't even hate you for that.
No, TSN Plus is what it is.
It's okay. I can use that.
No.
Yeah. Just can't, Julian.
Can confirm, guys. It was a groin injury. I apologize, Lamine. Okay. It was a groin injury. They reported it as a pubic injury.
You know what, though?
So I'm just a little...
Oh, you want to know what? Mm. It's probably like a... It might be like an English translation thing.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Because Barca like announced it on their own Twitter as a pubic injury.
Yeah, it might be like... Yeah.
But like maybe. Groin. Like, it's a muscle. There's no like... Yeah. Taboo thing. Well, about
I mean,
saying
like
it,
you could
know?
Have gotten it while you were.
And true. I'm not trying to. Anyways,
Julian, you told me you were gonna be very negative on Barca. And
yeah, you guys both have not been that negative. You're much more negative about Gyökeres. I'm gonna be
like,
honest.
I just feel like you haven't really. You have any other gripes?
No, I just think they got found out in this game. And if teams are looking at this as like a blueprint, then Barca are screwed this year. I think they are.
So, is the high line a problem? You think when they're going for it like that?
I think the high line is a problem when they don't have the offensive weapons that they should have.
AKA okay. Rafinha. Oh,
you know who's at you know who's at the crime scene again?
Ronald Araujo.
Your boy.
Who, by the way, has had a fairly decent start to the season, I will say.
Yeah.
Like, he hasn't been as bad as people, or as I made him out to be.
Fair.
The fact they didn't sign a proper center back in the summer
after getting rid of an ego,
still crazy to me, though.
It's insane.
Also kind of crazy that, like, someone like Inigo Martinez was like a
he was a general,
like a it's a big part of that team.
Who would have thought, right?
I mean, he was the more mature of the two center backs,
yeah.
And now it almost seems with Barcelona that Kubarsi is the more mature of the
which
two
is like
backs,
kind of a lot to ask of him,
which is a lot to ask of him, and that says a lot for around
Kubarsi's 18 too. It's insane. I thought he was like 21.
It was Kubarsi's fault.
He's 18
for Kubarsi was kind of at fault for Gonzalo Ramos's goal.
Yeah,
for the second one, like it was him pushing way too far forward to initiate the press, and then Balde has to cover his position. Balde is now out of position, and that gives
Kubarsi hasn't had a good start to the season either.
Am I crazy? Like, was he always 18?
Yeah, he was always.
He was actually 17 last year.
Bro, what are they like? What are they feeding them in La Masia, man?
I know
that's crazy, dude. Stupid.
It is crazy, but no, he hasn't had a good start to the season. But when you compare both center backs, it seems to me that in the game, Kubarsi seems like the more mature center back, and that's not good if you look at this from Araujo's point of view. Like, that's not how. What does that mean for you if the 18-year-old center back seems to be the more assured center back?
Yeah, that's fair.
Who's winning La Liga, boys? You have to call it now.
I think Barcelona have it.
I'll go Madrid.
I'll go Real Betis. No, I'm kidding. Madrid.
I think Mbappe,
it's Madrid's year finally.
Which I know. Madrid. I know we're going into Madrid eventually. Yeah, we're making it now. But I think Mbappe is like really motivated.
He's on demon time right now.
Yeah, he's insane right now.
It's insane.
Like I think there's like a next level of mental roadblocks that he has to get through, and he's smashing through all of them. Like, he knows. Like, you guys talked about it. This is like a defining year for him, right?
It is. Absolutely.
And I think he knows that. And I think he's like, I think he's on his Gronk shit right now. He's like, if I don't, you know what I mean? Like, he's like, if I don't do this, if I don't prove that I'm the best player in the world, if I don't win a Ballon d'Or, win a fucking Champions League title this year, then I'm going to be looked at as not what I should be looked at.
You know who else is kind of back? Mm. Or at least in this game he was? Vintage shithouse Vinny. Mm. Vinny in this game, so he scored a goal where he kind of dribbled around a couple defenders.
Very cool.
Shoots it from the left, takes a deflection, but goes in. Very nice. Earns a penalty, and then converts it, kind of barely converts it. Keeper should have saved it, to be honest. And then he dived to get a Villarreal player sent off with a second yellow.
That makes sense.
Like, he got like kind of like slapped in the chest, and then he goes down holding his face.
Wait, sorry. Back on the Mbappe thing, he's scored, including his time with France.
Yeah, every game but one?
Yeah, he scored in 9 games in a row. Damn. He scored 9 games in a row. That includes a hat trick against Kairat and a brace against Marseille and Levante. Yeah. So he has like what, 15 goals in 9 games?
Yeah.
He's on his Harry Kane shit.
I love that, bro.
He's playing well too. He's playing well.
Man, I love Mbappe, man. I love Mbappe.
Yeah?
I do. Yeah. I'm going to be honest. Like, I love
him. When he plays like this, you can't.
He's not unlikable. Like, you know, like Vinny, he's not. Yeah.
I just remember, you see the video of him and Brahim Diaz where Brahim turns around and like touches him accidentally in the dick and then like the side, and then Mbappe is kind of like looking forward and then looks at the camera and takes like a...
What?
No, you've seen it. No, hold on, keep talking. I'll pull it up here. Hold on.
But no, I mean, how do you feel about it? I know that's your boy too.
I was very critical at the beginning of the season with Mbappe.
Yeah.
I was very critical last season with Mbappe. But if he plays like this, I don't think I can be critical. The biggest thing I was critical with him about was the pressing, the off the ball stuff. And I knew Xabi Alonso's system would require him to be proactive off the ball, because that's what it was with Leverkusen, and I just didn't see it in him because of what he did last season. He didn't run enough last season. It seemed like he didn't want it enough last season, despite the goals that he was scoring. I was saying that if you took Mbappe out of Real Madrid last season, sure, you're missing 30 goals from Mbappe, but you're getting 30 more goals from everybody else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that, I thought that in terms of a collective, it wasn't really clicking with Mbappe in the team. But if he plays like this, man, he can sit down when the other team has the ball. He does not have to press one bit. I'm sorry. This is vintage Kylian Mbappe that we're witnessing. Like, this is the Mbappe that I wanted to witness, and I knew this player could do what he is doing right now, and that's why I was being so critical of him.
This was a big test that Real Madrid passed.
Yeah.
Like, Villarreal are third in La Liga this year. They're looking good.
Yeah, I was very disappointed with Villarreal.
I was too, specifically the Canadians.
They
didn't impress me.
Is there a last maybe thing? Maybe is there any Gonzalo Garcia? He's kind of just the is.
No, he's kind
of his arrival on the Club World Cup stage and his fall off have gone very quickly, I feel like.
Well, I mean, shit, how is he supposed to get in the team when Mbappe's doing this?
And when Vinny's playing, like
exactly.
Old Vinny.
Yeah, and you know who else is not getting into the team? The person we've said has not gotten into the team for a very long time.
Rodrigo?
No. Well, him too. The other Brazilian.
Endrick?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that guy.
He is, those two are rotting.
You know, wait, is it? Yeah, he holds the number nine shirt.
Still. Yeah, that's just switched crazy. This summer. So, I mean, like, we'll see. Like, he's still young. Yeah. What is he, like?
18, 19? Yeah,
I mean, he was 16 when we were in first year and he got bought.
Who are you talking about?
Endrick. So, I think he's 19 now.
Yeah. Yeah. These guys are gonna
he's 19.
They're going to be staples of Real Madrid squad in the next coming years.
I mean, it's just, but like...
If you guys expect them to show up right now just because of what Lamine Yamal is doing at such a young age, then the expectations are
wrong. Not that, but they need to play, right? So, it's like, if you're going to run on the bench, it's one thing.
Yeah,
if you want to be the staple of the team, you gotta get game time somewhere.
100%.
And same with Rodrigo. Like I have a newfound love for Rodrigo now. Even though last year I obviously didn't, because I really fell in love with the player when I wanted him to come to Arsenal. Like,
you finally realized that he was a good player.
I always knew he was a good player.
No.
Yeah, sure, but. It's just sad because, one, I wanted to be an Arsenal player. Holy fuck, imagine him in an Arsenal shirt. Oh my God, maybe he was going to come and dance. But also, it's like, he's just so talented. And the fact he's not being utilized is kind of sad because when talented players are not playing, it's bad for the sport.
Even Jude isn't being utilized that
much.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
I think Jude
started against Atleti.
No, it's just for him, it's just precautionary with his. He just came back from an injury, so.
Yeah. No, I'm more meant your other boy. That you
for
like
Arda Güler?
Doing the thing.
Yeah. I wish this was Arda on my back, but oh well.
I don't think Jude needed to start in this game. I don't think it's a problem that Jude didn't start.
No, I mean, if they're getting the results, then why does it matter?
Did Ceballos start in this game again?
Ceballos did start in the game.
Bro, how the fuck is he starting, bro?
I don't really like how he played either. I don't know.
He's kind of shit, bro.
Real quick.
He's a good player, but in this game, he wasn't great.
Real quick, Antoine, here's the video.
Let's see this video. Yeah.
So Brahim accidentally brushes him in the pubic area, and he sees the camera and he does a double take, and he's like, "Oh damn, I just got caught."
Wow.
Anyways. Yeah, Madrid look good, man. I'm back on the Liga, 3 points clear now, and El Clasico in a couple of weeks is going to be absolute cinema until Madrid end up losing next week, and nobody wants to win the league. We'll see. Anyways, one last thing on La Liga. Atletico drew again.
Once again.
To Celta Vigo. They're back to being absolute cheeks.
It's very frustrating, man, with Atletico Madrid, because I thought I thought they would kick their season back up with the big win against Real Madrid. Mm-hmm. I thought they played incredible in that game, and then Longley gets sent off in about 15 minutes. He gets a yellow in the 25th and then sent off in the 40th. And
yep.
That just can't happen.
Too many draws.
So now they're sitting fifth, which is not bad.
Got Marcus Alonso playing this game. Wow. He's still kicking it. That's crazy. Anyways. Yeah. That's another week in La Liga. Pretty enjoyable one, I would say.
But they did win 5-1 in the Champions League.
Oh, they did. Who did they play against?
Frankfurt,
right.
Griezmann grabbing
you would think that they're going to be back now, but no, that's just not what ended up happening.
Big game against Inter in the Champions League coming up.
0-0. 0-0 written
Arsenal
all over.
Play
wait,
Athletico
what?
Next
no,
week.
Club friendlies. 2 weeks.
Yeah, what
wait, what?
We play them in the
Champions League. Yeah, we play them next week.
Club friendlies.
Week after.
That's weird. Anyway.
Might just be one of those.
Oh my God, they have a game in the Middle East.
That's crazy.
They're playing a friendly in the Middle East against Inter.
That was so funny when you pulled that up. Yeah. You go, oh my God. Yeah. Benghazi? Yeah. You really thought that that was in Spain?
I don't know, man. Anyways, let's move back to the Prem. Let's go to United for a quick minute where they won 2-0 against the mighty Sunderland.
It's all you, brother.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, listen. This has been the first time in a while where I've watched a United game actually comfortable. Yep. Actually, like, feeling like it was in control from minute one to minute 90 and actually feeling like we had a firm grip on the game. And I'm shocked at that, to be honest with you.
I would agree with you.
I'm feeling the same way about this performance than you probably were against West Ham, and I would have not predicted that. So, fair enough. Senny Lamens, like, I think you guys are expecting me to come on and absolutely glaze him. He just put in a typical performance, which is all I can ask for from United keeper.
Which, by the way, past 2 years, I've earned him a man of the match. So I think that just shows how bad keepers,
like, he made, like,
the standard was.
One proper save I can remember, a couple of good claims on crosses.
Yeah,
pretty commanding for me. And then, like, didn't really show much in distribution, but was just like hoofing it, and yeah, I was happy with it, man.
But that was the biggest thing for me, the claims.
Yes, because if that's by Inder, it's going, like, you know, palmed out or punched out, or if it's Onana, he's completely missing it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you just think Senny. Just think about the two Grimsby goals. Like, Senny Lamens probably saved both of those.
They're in my mind. It was the Jays playoff game that I just went to yesterday, and then right below it on the ranking of how happy I was when I'm watching a sporting event is Onana's masterclass.
Isn't that kind of crazy how it's above, like, any Arsenal game?
I'm kidding.
Mason Mount, Julian?
Oh, yeah. Great. Like, this always happens with Mason Mount, where I'm trying to get, like, really, really excited, where I'm really happy. He puts in a couple of good performances that really moves me, and then he gets injured, and he's out for a month. And then he comes back and he's inconsistent. And yeah, like, I've had trouble trusting Mason Mount with the injuries, and he was pretty diabolical in the Europa League final. I mean, that's kind of how I feel with all these players, but very impressive from him.
I feel like his entire season so far has been very, very clean. It's been very tidy from Mason Mount.
Absolutely.
Whenever he's been on the pitch, I thought
we played our first couple of games before Sesko bed himself in. He was like, Mason Mount was like the quote unquote striker, kind of rotating with the two tens, and I was very impressed with him. And again, until he got injured. So that's kind of the thing. It's like, if he can stay healthy, then he's going to be a great option for us. Okay. It ended up being Cunha that moved to the bench. Which,
and 007. Sorry.
Sure. Yeah. And he's had good performances. I think he came on. He's been doing good. Like, he's not performed badly whatsoever. Like, I think
Double seven, but he has good.
Like, in the time that he's been healthy, I think he's arguably been better than Mbeumo. And Mbeumo's really good himself, too. So, yeah. Like, again, happy with their performance. Like, I think Amorim was saying in the build to this game, it's like, it doesn't matter the system or whatever, whether we're playing a 4-3-3 or a, you know, or a 3-4-3 or whatever it is. Like, as long if the players are, like, positionally disciplined, if they're playing with the right effort, the right passion, with the right cohesion that they need to, then we win games like this. So there you go. Yoro was really good as well, I thought. Why he came out the team, I have no idea. Amad looked really good, particularly in the first half. So did Mbeumo. And then Sesko goal. You love seeing it, man. We're doing long throw-ins now, apparently.
Stoke City.
You know what? Everyone's doing long throw-ins.
That is true.
It's the new kind of thing. Because it's
a lot of people are doing long
throw-ins. I guess I don't know why it's so hard to deal with.
It's probably
that.
Just the percentage of second balls that you
can get. And I think it's because of the pace on the ball. It's not as direct. So there isn't a lot of, you know, pace for it to be headed out.
You're giving yourself a free opportunity to get the ball in the box.
Yeah.
What it is a lot of the time is, like, I think they're setting it up so it goes to, like, kind of the front posts, and there's a big man that's kind of like flicking it backwards, and then it goes to the back post for someone to tuck in. I've seen that multiple times this year. It's been very effective. So that's what we saw here from United.
You know what, like, those just randomly, but like those type of plays, those corner plays or whatever, like the flick on to an empty net is like the most satisfying play ever.
Knew I'd hear that coming from an Arsenal fan. You know a lot about it, don't you?
I do.
Shout out United. There's nothing much else to say. It's not like a needle moving performance again.
I mean, it kind of is, because this was low key Amorim sacked game if they lost.
It was, for sure.
Like, honestly, yeah.
Which is crazy.
10th in the table. How are we feeling?
It's an improvement.
Good. Hey, if we come top 10, I get $50 from one of my buddies.
Who the hell would bet that?
Ryan. Ryan bet me that they wouldn't come top 10.
And guess who he supports? Guess
Liverpool.
Yeah. See, there you go.
Wow.
So hopefully that's $50 for me. So we'll take those. Yeah. Tottenham win 2-1 against Leeds. They moved to third in the table.
You know what? Tottenham have had a weird start to this year.
Very weird.
Because they've been good, but they also have not been good. You know what
like
I mean?
Like low-key. But yeah. Like, again, like you start under a new manager. Like,
yeah.
This is kind of the start that you would have wanted, right?
Yeah, that's
you
fair.
Know?
I just think with Tottenham, it's almost the same thing as Arsenal on a different scale. It's just very hard to beat them.
Yeah.
It's hard to score goals on them.
That's exactly what it is, right?
So I think
with an actual healthy defense,
like they may not beat you convincingly, but they'll
exactly
if opportunities fall to them, they'll scrape by.
That's fair.
No,
they're third, eh? Is that that's right?
They're third now.
Interesting. They played
sneaky starts the season. I don't think I'd.
Yeah,
I mean third, like it's they're third. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's not bad.
They beat Burnley. They did beat City, which was a good result.
It is crazy though. Everyone in the league has dropped points twice already.
Yeah. I like when it's competitive like this, man.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Brentford lost to Man City 1-0. Haaland goal. Typical.
Typical.
Not much to say
but
there,
see,
really.
I like this, though. Like, Man City seem very... They just seem like they're Man just, City of last year.
They're just
they're a good
trucking
team,
along.
But they're not Man City. You know
well,
what I mean?
Like, it depends how you look at it, right? Like, they're not, like, going insane. They're just putting results together. And I guess,
but they drew against Monaco, like a late winner. Like,
at least in the Prem, like this is kind of the run that they need. Where are they in the table? They're fifth right now.
Yeah.
They are how many points back? Where?
And like, 13th
on
they
the
obviously,
end.
They obviously
three back from second.
They obviously dominated Brentford possession wise, but XG, oh, whatever. Then 8.5 XG. Brentford had a 7, like 0.7.
Fair.
So. Like I said, they're not creating a lot.
Brentford away is also
tough. It's tough.
Did you guys see the Sky bet?
Especially for Manchester teams.
Did you guys see the Sky bet thing with Man City?
No.
So Sky bet does the thing every single week where if you predict the 10 fixtures of the week perfectly, correct score, then you win £1 million.
Oh, I have seen that.
If you predict all 10 of them correct.
Has that ever happened?
So on the last game of the game week, which was Brentford City, there were like 9 people that have gotten every single score right up to that point.
Wow.
Every single score.
Every single score. That's they predicted United 2-0, Arsenal 2-0, Chelsea 2-1, et cetera, et cetera. Nobody predicted 1-0 City. Every single other score was covered. 2-1 City, 3-1 City, 2-0, 3-0, 3-2, 3-2 Brentford, 2-1 Brentford, 1-0 Brentford. But nobody said 1-0 City. And nobody won £1 million. It just makes you think. It just makes you think.
I'd be stressing if I put 1-0 City because
that's
they scored in the 9th minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's 80 minutes of hell.
Oh my God. Yeah. Holy shit. But yeah. Just makes
interesting.
Just makes you think.
Interesting.
Just makes you think. Anyways. Newcastle beat Forest 2-0.
Forest fucking suck.
Look horrible.
Yeah. Out of B, Ange. Out of B.
Adabi Marinakis.
Yeah, it's Marinakis' fault.
This is on Marinakis,
dude. You know what? That's fair.
How embarrassing is that, by the way?
If you're a Forest fan blaming anybody else besides Marinakis, then you're just an idiot. Like, it's Marinakis and low-key on Edu as well, because it was Edu's falling out with Nuno that started this whole debacle.
True. Maybe.
It's always Nuno.
Yep. Well, always Edu. But yes.
What did I say?
Nuno.
Always Nuno.
Sorry.
But no, it's embarrassing. Look at the highs that you were on with Nuno there. You made Europa League. It was Conference League, but ended up being Europa League, right? Or was it the other way around?
Conference League, but then since
they're
Palace
in Europa
went
League.
Down, they
they're
went
in Europa
up,
League.
Yeah.
Right? So you're in Real Europa League when no one would have ever predicted that. You were top four for the bigger part of the season. Like,
yeah.
And you decide to sack the lad. What has he done, man? Look
that's
what he's done for you.
Bro. So I'm saying,
yeah, it's pretty
unbelievable.
Bad.
And I honestly, I'm happy when I see these Forest results. I'm happy when I see this downfall because
I don't like Forest either.
It's what they deserve after that.
Honestly, that dressing room must be so toxic.
I saw a clip at the end of the match where Ange is clapping, like he's saying thank you to the away fans or to the home fans wherever no, they were away. So he's saying thank you to the away fans and the players are next to him. No one acknowledges him. Yeah. Nobody acknowledges Ange. They're all walking off. You can see Morgan Gibbs-White looks absolutely pissed.
Because all he is, Ange, is just a puppet for the owner. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. It's the Greek connection. It's the personal relationship that got him the Forest job. Mm-hmm. It is. Obviously, yeah, he did an okay job at Spurs, still got the sack. But I think there were better candidates you could have gone out there for. And
it's probably right.
That's it. Or you just don't sack Nuno in the first place.
There's one player that I feel particularly bad for, and it's Morgan Gibbs-White.
Yes.
I mean, put yourself in Morgan Gibbs-White's shoes right now.
Held
could
hostage.
Be at Tottenham right now.
He could be at Tottenham right now, third on the table in Champions League. Instead, you're in this Forest team that looks awful, maybe one of the worst in the Premier League right now.
Yeah.
And you almost feel like you're held hostage because of that.
Yeah, I would not want to be a Forest fan right now.
Yeah.
Like, it's gone from like a dream of last year to an absolute nightmare. Yeah. They are 17th in the table right now. Surrounded by Leeds, Yikers. Brentford, Burnley, West Ham, Wolves. That is not good company.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yikes. Anyways, moving on to a much better situation in the Premier League. Antoine Semenyo and Justin Kluivert for Bournemouth, lads. Holy fuck.
Wow.
You know what? They're back, bro. Fuck.
Two contenders for goal this season, back to back
to
win
the game.
And
it's
crazy. Semenyo was just
I think the
stupid.
First one wins. That goal is insane.
The Kluivert goal?
No, the Semenyo.
The Semenyo,
the Semenyo goal. The angle is
disgusting.
Bro, how does he even, and he can drill past goal people too. Like, yeah.
I know. Takes, what I a week for the Kluiverts as well.
Yeah.
Like all three of the Kluivert sons scored this week. Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Did not know that. No. Where do the other ones play?
Lyon.
One of them's in like the youth still.
One of them's in Lyon.
Yeah, he scored in like the youth cup against PSG or Barca or whatever it was. And then the other one plays for Lyon right now, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and he scored as well. There you go. He
scored against Salzburg in the Europa League.
There you go. There you go. I think like the depth of the Premier League is insane.
Yeah.
Like how many mid-table stars have there been that are now playing for like your Real Madrids, your PSGs? Like think of like Dean Huijsen. You calling Arsenal mid-table?
At that time, yeah.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah.
If Tobias is the first name that comes to your mind when we're talking about this, that's crazy, brother.
Huijsen,
Zabarnyi,
Olise,
Eze.
Is Tobias not the a great example, though? Like, he just started on the weekend.
I mean,
what?
You got him on loan from Real Madrid. He just went back to Real Madrid, didn't he?
All right.
There's more players in there we can find for sure.
Yeah.
Sorry, Chad.
The next, and like Semenyo.
Diaz, Puig Piaz, bro. He's cooking in Bayern.
Yeah, he's playing for Liverpool.
He's playing for Liverpool. Oh, we're talking shit. Sorry. Then.
Sorry, guys.
Love it.
I was
going to say Harry Kane too, but I'll stop.
Oh my God.
Jesus Christ, man.
Calm down.
Semenyo is the next one. Semenyo is going to like an Arsenal or a United or a Chelsea.
He's so not summer. Coming to us. I wish he was, but he's just not.
He's going
to
be the guy that every club wants.
Yeah, he's so good.
I pray he goes somewhere. If like a Barcelona come in for him, I would not be surprised.
And
and I have his jersey.
What's even crazier for me is that Bournemouth lost virtually their entire back line.
Yep.
This summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they are fourth in the table. Is that right?
Yep.
They're fourth right now or fifth.
Fifth, yeah.
They're fifth in the table. They don't look like...
Fourth
in the table. They don't look like they're regressing in level. Their back line, especially their left back, I think. People are calling...
Truffert!
Yeah, Truffert. People are saying he's a better player than Kerkez right now. I'm seeing Bournemouth fans saying that he's better than Kerkez.
You told us to look out for him, didn't you?
I did.
You did?
I did.
Was it just because he was French?
Maybe.
Senesi.
Well, Senesi's been there for the minute.
Yeah, but he's now really getting
DEFCON monster. DEFCON monster.
Yeah. The fact that their level hasn't regressed from last year after losing all those key pieces just speaks to one, how good their recruitment is, and two, how good Iraola is.
Man.
What a manager.
I would love to be a Bournemouth fan.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it must be so fun.
Especially right now. I mean, Bournemouth were always this team in prior years to come up and down. Every year.
No.
If you want me to be a fan of that team, that's kind of boring. But now.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Being a fan of Bournemouth must be.
Yeah.
Must be fun.
They've had some fun years over the.
Yeah.
Over the years.
What I mean. Like, they had like the Callum Wilson years were always really fun. And then they went up to now into this new era. Like, it's just.
They do need a new stadium, though, I think. They deserve a new stadium.
The vid like isn't working for you?
But just like the amount of talent that we've been seeing coming from like the mid-table Premier League sides is insane.
Adam Wharton.
Adam Wharton is going to be another big one over the next couple of years as well. Caicedo is another one. Like, Baleba will be one soon.
Todd Cantwell, but he didn't.
Cucurella. Yeah,
Minte will be one for sure.
Minte will be one too. Like, I know he went to United, so you can banter me if you want, but Cunha was one of them as well. He was playing for a relegation candidate.
Now they're going to get relegated without him.
Anyways.
No, you were saying Wolves are going to get relegated, not you.
Oh, I thought you said no.
I said now they're going to get relegated.
Oh, I said here by men.
Like, we're 10th. Put some respect on us.
We're past that. Who's another gimmick. One?
Rafinha! Do we already say that?
Holy fuck. Oh, yeah, fuck. Rafinha, dude. Rafinha is another big one, too. Yeah. Holy shit.
See, guys, I'm locked
yeah, literally, from Leeds, relegated at Leeds to...
Because I was looking to the table. I saw Leeds.
Yeah, Rafinha is one, too.
Yeah.
Good pull, Blake.
Thank you.
Fuck, man. Damn.
Thank you.
Damn.
The depth is insane. And I mean, that's probably why people call it the best league. I mean, it's definitely why
it's
people call
so
it
the best league in the world.
100%
I still remember, like, a couple years ago, Bournemouth were competing with Galatasaray and, like, other teams around Europe for
I know you're talking about. What's his name?
For, like, 30 M's.
Araujo?
No.
It might have been Senesi you're talking about when they said
No, it's not. He's a wing back. It just
might have been Araujo.
Might have been Julian Araujo.
Of Julian.
He's young.
Mexican.
No. I know his name.
Julian.
Julian Araujo. Anyways.
I'll find it. Maybe not. We'll see.
Yeah, but like I remember even like a couple of years back, we had like AC Milan keep competing for signings with like your Forest and your Bournemouth. And like that's the kind of spending that the Premier League just in general now has. And now we're seeing that extra recruitment that they're able to perform really, really shine. And now they're getting the fruits of that labor. And like you just see the results with the past couple of years. It's insane. So nice. Barney, Hoysen, Elise, Rafinha, all of these guys. Mental stuff. Premier League is like by far and away the best and most competitive league in the world. It is not even a conversation to have. No. Man. Any update there?
Nope.
Okay. We'll come back.
I tried.
We'll come back to you.
We'll see.
But I want to go as well to Bayern Munich. They beat Frankfurt 3-0. Diaz scored twice. Kane scored an insane goal. Bayern are just absolutely trancing all over the Bundesliga right now. Harry Kane had an 8.3 out of 10 performance. It's his worst so far of the year.
That's crazy.
Have you seen Luis Diaz's
poor
stats?
Poor performance from Kane.
I mean, Jesus.
Poor performance from Kane with an 8 out of 10.
You know what's crazy with this game? Frankfurt this season have not been, in the last like 5 games, there's been at least 6 goals scored in that game.
Really?
So everybody was saying that it's going to be a high scoring game. 3-0 in the end. It's still high scoring, I guess. But
yeah.
Against Atletico Madrid, they lose 5-1. They win 6-4 against Mönchengladbach. They lost 4-3 against Union Berlin. They won 5-1 against Galatasaray. They were the team coming into this game with the most goals, I think, in the Bundesliga. Maybe second behind Bayern.
Yeah.
But apparently this I mean, I'm not fully tapped into the Bundesliga and Eintracht Frankfurt, but apparently this Frankfurt team this year is... It's looking a little decent.
Yeah. And still, Bayern just swept them away.
Yeah, I mean, that just shows the lack of competition, right?
Bayern look terrifying right now. I know it's start of the Bundesliga season. Bayern always start the season really, really well, obviously. But, like, not to this level. This is terrifying.
25 right goals, only conceded three.
25 goals in 6 games.
Dumb. Well, you know what? And they kind of need to, like, do something in the Champions League. It's been a while since they've been a genuine threat. It really has been.
The thing is with Bayern
Four or five
Munich
years, yeah.
in the last few years is that in the Champions League...
No, they made the semis in 24.
When?
Didn't they? They came really close. If it wasn't if it wasn't for fucking... What's his name?
What?
Real Madrid striker in 2024.
Hossalu.
If it wasn't for a Hossalu masterclass, they would have made the final.
Hossalu. The whole thing in the Champions League with Bayern Munich is that when it mattered the most, there's always been some kind of injury. Last year it was Musiala. 2 years ago, I think it was somebody else that was important. So they've been kind of unlucky in the Champions League. Yeah. But this year, with how they're starting the league.
They don't even have Musiala right now.
You know, we have Musiala right now, and Gnabry looks to be back to his best. Olise is having a wonderful season. I don't see many people talking about Olise's season.
Yeah, man.
Spectacular so far. Harry Kane looks like the best version of Harry Kane we've seen so far.
Ever.
And that's crazy because of his age and what he's done prior in prior seasons in his career.
He's 32.
Like, this Bayern team can go on to achieve crazy things this
season. Even Nicholas Jackson midweek was scoring, scoring goals.
I don't think it's ridiculous to say that they could finish the season with a treble.
Man, Alphonso Davies still injured. Let's not forget.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not forget. Musiala obviously had that broken leg in the Club World Cup. I mean, like, they have guys to come back still as well. Stanisic, too. Like, man. Vincent Kompany at the helm for all of this.
Isn't that crazy?
This is not like some, like, I don't know. Maybe he is, like, a obviously he's a really good manager. We know that. But it's like, we didn't think he was.
We didn't always know that, though.
Like, we didn't really think.
We thought this jump was way out of his.
A couple of months ago, we were like, is he Bayern worthy?
Yeah, we were. 2 years ago, he was getting relegated with Burnley.
Yeah.
And 6 months from that relegation, or maybe even less, he's appointed to go to manage the biggest.
Obviously, Bayern saw something there. And, like, if this form continues, then, you know, they'll be right.
Well, if you guys remember when he was with Burnley, he absolutely dominated the championship. I think with those top tier players in that league, he does really well with them. And I think when you go, obviously, it's like it shows, like, the depth of how well the manager can be with the talent of players up against other talent. But you give him the best. I'm not saying that he's not doing a bad job. I'm saying, like, the team he has, I mean, it's insane. So, you know, but he's still doing an amazing job. But I think he does really well with offensively speaking. So when you have these top tier players, you're going to do very well with him under the helm.
It's just insane to me. Kane scored an absolute worldie. He was all over the place. He put up like an 8 out of 10 performance. And by the numbers, it was his worst game of the season so far. That is crazy to me. I know we're early in the season, but still, like, it's been like 10 games.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
and
fuck
that's what
him.
You're doing. Oh. Arsenal lad.
I actually don't really hate Harry Kane. I really don't.
Yeah, he doesn't piss anyone off, does he?
No.
Anyways, moving on. Inter were dominant the weekend against Cremonese.
Shout out Bunny. Oh.
Sure.
Bunny. French striker, 3 assists, 1 goal.
Bunny.
Involved in all 4 goals against Cremonese. What?
Hey, fair.
See, what
position
what?
Is
almost,
a striker? He was signed from Parma last season.
You know how you're like, I'm considered the hater of this team. You're the ultimate French glazer of this team.
Am I not supposed to? We're talking about Inter Milan. If there's one thing to talk about in this game against Cremonese, it's the fact that Anjouan Bonny was involved in all 4.
Dare
goals.
I say, if he wasn't French, you would not talk about him.
No,
like
I would.
I would.
Maybe not with as much enthusiasm. But I would.
Fair.
Rasmus Højlund scored the winner.
Yes, sir.
For Napoli
against
Genoa. He scored 3 goals in the past week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
that's what we love to
see.
I'm not surprised. Højlund.
Yep. The overrated to the reject link up.
But McTominay is still overrated, right?
Yeah, he's overrated.
Yeah, dude. You just have to let it go because it's ruining your reputation.
It might be the worst
thing
you ever
day.
Had.
Put up one stinker, I dare you, Scott.
That is called agenda.
one stinker.
That's agenda.
He's going to be the one doing the Viggle AI edits with Scott McTominay.
No, yes, no, absolutely. No. Scott seems like a great guy.
Yeah,
I'm just like...
You don't back Scott. Don't call him
if
a good
he,
guy.
Okay, if
you
he
don't
moves,
back Scott.
If he moves back to United right now, what happens? What happens?
No.
Where does he play?
Does he score goals?
Fit
that system, really.
Yeah, he can play a 10.
Yeah,
that's what he's doing right now in Napoli.
I mean,
But in the Premier League, is he producing the same?
I'm sure he would. No, he wouldn't produce the same, obviously. But I'm sure he would still be one of your best players.
I 100% agree.
Does he end up starting over a Mount, Acuna, and Bermo?
I think he should. If you think he's overrated, then there might be genuinely a problem.
Yeah, you're just...
I'm just saying, you could put up good performances while being overrated.
Everybody's the best player in
entirely.
One of the most historic leagues of all time. Probably the most historic league of all time. Yeah. And he's overrated.
In a defensive-minded league, nonetheless.
In a defensive-minded league, too.
Yeah,
that's why he's able to get... Anyways.
I don't know where you're going with that.
No, they bought him over a year ago, Miles.
What? Over a year ago?
Did you hear that?
I
Did they buy Hoyland?
You're talking about Hoyland?
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about, we were talking about McTominay. You're like, is he there on loan?
Oh, sorry. sorry. That's my bad. I'm like one player
Hoyland
behind.
Hoyland is at Napoli on loan I believe, an obligation to buy. Okay. So he's going to stay permanently there.
Yeah.
Juventus drew with Milan 0-0. Christian Pulisic missed the pen.
That's it. Yeah. That's all we need to know.
Christian Pulisic missed the pen and ends 0-0. Nothing much
else
to say.
Pull a bitch.
What the fuck?
What the fuck? What the hell?
Sorry.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Ass sharpens ass.
We're giving love to him last week.
Yeah.
Hey man.
Captain America.
I was gonna edit that clip if he scored in this game.
Yeah.
Well, LeBron James soccer,
guess
baby.
That clip's not coming up.
Yeah, hey, that might be the craziest comparison that anyone's ever put on a player.
No, but I know what the Pawn Star guy meant.
No, I don't. No,
I
don't. I
know what he meant.
No,
he meant America's best player.
Yeah, no. That's no.
Also, you're trying to sell an autographed jersey. You're going to glaze Pulisic as much as you can there.
Oh my god.
If that ended up in a sale, you know what? Then valid to him.
I don't even need to say anything to change his name. He's Pulisic.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Uh-huh.
You thought of that one for a long time, yeah?
Great mind of our time.
By the way, I just like to say, Blake, Napoli played against Genoa this week. And Genoa, on the right wing, had a guy named Brooke Norton Cuffey. Do you remember him?
Is Arsenal
there? Our old Arsenal. Like, not old, but he was in our system.
Academy.
Yeah. Sorry. I just saw the name. I was like, wait, I remember you. Anyways. Christian Pulisic.
Did you find the Bournemouth sign?
I still didn't find it. It's really bothering me.
I'm pretty sure
it's Julian Araujo.
I don't think it is.
What other way? It was a Kirkus?
How much was it for?
It was about like 30.
Was it Kirkus?
That's exactly what they said.
No. They were linked with him. He's a wing back.
They didn't actually end up signing him.
A wing back.
Araujo's a wing back.
Yeah.
I'm going to find it and I'm going to send the text to you guys.
Okay. Fair enough.
That's my...
Dortmund drew 1-1 with Leipzig.
Nice.
I mean, Dortmund and Leipzig look really, really good, but the draw just means Bayern are pulling away even more. I mean, that league may be over already, if I may say so myself.
It factually is.
Yeah.
To be
honest. Lille 1, PSG 1. Yep. Take me through that one, Anto.
First of all, did you see Nuno Mendes' free kick though?
No.
I didn't.
Oh my god.
Was it good?
Do you want me to put it up?
Pull it up.
All right, I'll pull it up.
You know what? I think I'm surprised the league lead isn't like 7 points already.
Why is that? We're still top of the table. That's fine. There's no problem. We have Marseille sniffing our butts though.
If you lost the league.
I need to find it with Arabic.
Would it even move you?
If what? Yes, it would.
It would. Okay.
Yeah, it would. Okay, fair.
Hold on. We need to find it. We need to find it with the Arabic commentators.
El Nino.
Okay. That's not Arabic.
Anyways. Beautiful free kick to the top right corner. The man of the moment. But that then on the back of that, you have Ethan Mbappe. With a low driven shot that fools. All right, man, we saw it.
You're such a glazer.
I know.
He glazes PSG, man.
I'm not. I'm just trying to find the Arabic commentator.
I don't think we called the European champion.
We don't need the Arabic.
Did you call him European champion today?
I did. Yeah, you did. I did. Keep going.
On the back of that, you have Ethan Mbappe who fires a low driven shot, and Lucas Chevalier, man.
He should do better there?
He should do much better. Much better.
Does Donna say that?
Donna saved that. Let's be honest.
Donna had a good save against Igor Thiago this week.
Let me see.
Anyways.
Mbappe!
What the fuck was that?
No.
What the hell was that?
Wait, it's right in the corner, though. It's right in the corner.
Oh, it went through the legs. It went through the legs of Beraldo. Beraldo at the crime scene once again. Interesting.
Bro.
Interesting.
Also, Julian, you better not get to the final prompt on this schedule. I do not want you to talk.
Why? What do you mean? What do you mean?
Keep going though, Antoine.
No, I mean, I don't really have anything much to say.
Yeah, sure.
The teams in Liga this year look really good.
That's good though.
Lille is a good footballing team.
Would you rather it be like that? No.
Yes, I'd much rather be like that. Okay. Yeah.
Bro, like
Benfica. Last but not least, Benfica drew 0-0 with Porto. It was one of the worst games I've ever laid my eyes on. Richard Rios looked decent.
Yo, you did not watch a lick of this game.
You did not watch the game.
I watched the extended highlights. And I was still
there. There you go. And to pull up extended highlights of a 0-0,
bro. Respectfully, you did not watch the extended highlights either, bro. You watched 5 seconds and said, "Why am I watching this?"
Be honest with yourself, Julian. Be honest with yourself. I watched the entire thing. You did not watch. 15-minute highlights of the 0-0 game.
It was on 1.5 speed.
Yes, there you go. Now the truth is coming out. There's more coming.
Bro, at this point, he doesn't even like Benfica. He just watches them to prove us
exactly.
Wrong.
Exactly.
That's literally
exactly. We're getting it out of you.
Nico Zaniolo is a fucking.
Oh, it's Zaniolo.
That's who it was.
He's not a wingback. What are you talking about?
I'm sorry. I couldn't remember. But Zaniolo was linked with Bournemouth. And other teams in Europe, like top teams in Europe, were linked with him as well in competition for him.
Yes. We're slowly getting
him. Fucking 10.
Oh, absolutely.
We are slowly getting him.
No. Kivior, that is funny, though. I'm glad you found that, Miles. I know that was going to bug you.
Kivior almost scored an own goal to win it, but Porto probably should have won.
Nice.
They're looking really good.
I'm so happy you gave me that
information. Fuck you guys, bro. Fuck you guys. Actually, fuck you guys. Like...
You want me to talk about TFC's draw this week?
I'm all good.
You're such a dick.
He turned down Bournemouth. Tottenham and AC Milan were interested in signing him, bro.
Let it go. Yeah, and then he went to Gala.
He went to Villa and he went to Gala.
Yeah, then he went to Gala and he like, what happened again? Like,
he sucked.
Oh.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Doesn't matter.
He like broke his leg.
Okay, I'm sorry.
All right, last thing on here, lads. I want to talk to you about the World Cup tickets.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I have nothing to say. So
FIFA with the World Cup tickets, most disgusting thing I've ever seen in football.
I agree with you.
Like, this is crazy. It's crazy. I saw people a couple of weeks back when it got announced that it'd be dynamic pricing, people actually celebrating that, tickets are going to be as cheap as $60. If you actually thought it was going to be $60, you're going to be able to buy tickets for $60, you are an idiot. I'm sorry. Do we know what kind of corporation we're dealing with here? We're a nonprofit. Shut the fuck up. So but what's basically happening is there's category one, there's category two, category three, category four tickets, right? And like category four was being advertised as like the cheapest ones that, you know, are like going to be the most affordable to fans and stuff. But if you actually look at the maps, and Blake, if you could get like this picture up as we're trying to kind of like relay this to our audience, like the category four tickets, if you actually like zoom onto the map, like look at this picture here. It's in
Jesus
green.
Jesus Christ.
There's category four right there.
Oh, wow.
There's category four. And by the way, category one is the entire lower bowl. That's the corporate seating. That's where the national team fans, like if it's a game between like, say like Chile and Argentina, the Argentina and Chile fans are sitting in the red and blue sections.
Oh yeah.
They're not going to be able to afford
nor sit. It's
going to
be like Leafs game.
It's going to be like Gianni Infantino said he wanted like a Super Bowl for every single atmosphere. But you know what? The atmosphere of the Super Bowl is fucking garbage because either rich people that are spending that money for once in a lifetime, it's some fans who have to mortgage their house, and it's a bunch of corporate suits that are just getting the tickets gifted for them. Like if we're having that kind of atmosphere at the World Cup is fucking ruined. I'm sorry.
It's ridiculous. I mean, we're talking about,
look at it. Look, these are current prices of a game. TBD versus TBD in Vancouver. This is in Canada, boys. Cheapest tickets you can currently buy right now is I'm looking at $1,600.
Yeah, that's crazy.
$1,800, $3,000, some are $5,000. This might be actually per ticket, actually. But it's just like, oh my God.
It's ridiculous. This is supposed to be, by the way, the most accessible sport in the world.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And now you're putting that behind a massive paywall. The passion almost goes away.
Yeah.
We saw at the Club World Cup, there are how many missing seats in those stadiums. Maybe it's because it was a Club World Cup, but if you really think that people are going to pay $2,000 for tickets consistently throughout the entire tournament, you are so wrong. So wrong.
This has the potential to be the best World Cup of all time. But if it is run with the same logistics, the same pricing, the same issues that the Club World Cup was plagued with, this is going to end up turning very sour very quickly.
Yep.
And this is going to do the complete opposite of growing the game in North America. Like, I've been so excited to see the past couple of years. Oh my God. What's basically happening is, like, I think a couple of days ago, they're also making it so confusing to buy the tickets. There's like a raffle to enter into a raffle to win a draw, to buy a ticket, whatever. So all the cheapest, the actual retail tickets from FIFA were all bought by scrapers because there was no system in place to stop people from like coding a little bot to buy themselves 200 tickets at a time and then resell them for whatever price they wanted to. That's the prices you're seeing on your screen right now. It's like this guy selling it for $7,000. It's not FIFA. It's not Gianni Infantino himself. It's some guy that just sniped it and is now reselling it. It's what happens with like every concert around here, everything. In Europe, they have like a good system to where it's you're actually buying it from the club. You need to be an Arsenal member to buy tickets or whatever. You're buying it on like the Arsenal website or like a trusted retailer. It's not through like a Ticketmaster or something where people are able to resell. Well, like there are laws against that.
How they have it in Europe as like a resale system is the listed price that they told you what it was going to cost upon the release that FIFA, like the price that FIFA releases to the fans, that's the only price you can resell your ticket. So that's like as if you can't, it's basically like, oh, so you buy this ticket for $100. If you can't make the game, you want to resell it, you can only resell it for $100. That's it. And that's how they do it all over. That's how Arsenal do it. That's how all the teams in England do it when you put it on an official relisting website. Relist it on their website. Yeah. So
interesting.
But obviously this is America and we need to make as much money as possible, as humanly possible, and don't give a shit about the fans. So
look, this
Canada and Mexico as well.
This is in Guadalajara. And look at the category 4 cheapest tickets available. It is one stump at the highest point in the smallest corner of every single stadium. Like, this goes for everything, whether it's in Canada, whether it's in Mexico, whether it's in the U.S. Like, you can barely spot the green on this screen right now. Like,
oh, my God.
Look at that. Look at that. You want – and you know what? There's probably, like, a pole right here that's blocking your view if you want to actually watch. It's like – it's – oh, my God. It's just
– it's just sad, honestly.
I know. Anyways, that's my little rant over. But obviously, still very excited for the World Cup. But if this is how it's going to be, then like we're off to a rough start, FIFA.
Canada are going to win it. It doesn't matter.
Would you – like what – like if Canada win the World Cup, I assume like you'll be happier than Jays win the World Series.
Yeah, it's the top.
Yeah, that's the best. Yeah, yeah. That's like that. There, like I don't think anything –
but does it have to be Canada winning the World Cup, or can it be like Canada making the semis? On the same level. Like, where's the threshold?
Yeah, no. If they make the semi, it's not. They have to win the thing. Them making the semi may be, like, the craziest thing I've ever watched.
Yeah.
But it won't feel as good as, like, the Jays winning. Because realistically, I haven't seen either team win anything. Yeah.
Right.
So, if it's Canada versus France, Antoine, are you cheering for...
He's cheering for France, and that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You know what?
But if it's Canada...
I'll be with you guys.
Yeah. I've only lived in Canada.
But, like, would you wouldn't be, like, heartbroken... if Canada won that game.
I think I would.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair.
All right. Fair enough. Let's hit a little FPL roundup and then we'll finish up this episode.
Go ahead, Julian.
We can just put it on the screen up here.
Oh, this is nice.
Lovely.
I sold this week, guys. Fucking terrible for me, man. Just
it's not. I'm not signed in. Antoine, you do it.
I have to pull it up first. So Blake, what'd you do this week though?
So I went to Captain Yacht.
Oh, I got it. Never mind. Okay, last place this week was Mr. Blake Talibas on 67 points.
And that's okay. And that's all good.
That's okay.
Because
6-7.
Okay. But there's a long road ahead.
There's a long road ahead.
Yeah, so absolutely. Much glaze.
All my chips, by the way.
Exactly.
All of my chips.
Very nice. Very nice. João Pedro, Gyökeres, Haaland, good front three.
Wait, you said
Gyökeres captain, though, I don't like. Semenyo for 18 points, and Ndiaye with 7, and Bermo with 6. Petr Porro with 7, Gabriel with 9.
And nice. If Konza wasn't a fucking bum and Aston Villa kept a clean sheet, that would have been good. But
yeah. A lot of red, Blake, on the side and on the left-hand side there.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of red here.
But it's red because... Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because I'm above average.
Right.
Second in
Isn't that crazy?
In the fan first league. That's look crazy. Who you're behind. Yo, some of the teams in the fan first league is disgraceful.
I know, it's bad.
Like Simicast.
Simicast football. Damsgaard?
Because he just sets and forget, dude. Everyone just sets and forgets. Yeah, see, like it's the same thing every single week. Anyways, third place in the 6YB league this week was myself with 69 points. I think it's also worth noting I am back down to last in the league.
Can I just say, have you all seen like the memes where it's like 68 seeing the generational run?
Yeah. 6-7, 6-9. Yeah. It's so funny.
Very nice week for me and you. Anyways, Ryo with 6 points, Gabrielle with 9.
I need a new keeper, guys. I don't want to make a keeper, but like my keepers are not giving me any points.
And then Haaland, obviously captain, with 16. Who would not do that? But beyond that, nothing much.
How does it feel to be last place?
I feel good because I'm actually closer to second than I was last week. Okay. So I'm feeling okay.
Holy yeah, bro.
What the fuck? Valid.
Like you're last, buddy. Come on.
You got more points than me this weekend?
No.
Oh, okay.
Second on the week was Frim Ping Pong.
Thank you.
Do you want to talk through it?
No.
Yeah, fair.
It's normal. We're good. We're first in the league by like 90 points. We're good.
No.
All right. He's getting a little cocky. 90? He's getting a little.
What is it? 40?
He's getting a little 40. Cocky now.
Wait till I triple captain, man.
True.
Wait, have you used your triple captain?
Yes.
Oh.
Me.
Let's talk.
And first on the week was. Change name.
It's coming soon. I promise. I said I would. I'm
like
still
finding you.
At this point, like.
Four point deduction every week.
I'll have it changed by next week.
Dude, you know
week.
What? Can you transfer in somebody for João Pedro? Like, can you go like João Pedro to Mateta and then Mateta back down to João Pedro?
You want me to,
just to take a minus four?
I could do that, but I won't.
We could do that, eh? Yeah.
That's a good way
to do it. Yeah. And it fucks up his free transfer.
And we've been telling you for like 3 or 4 weeks that like a punishment is coming.
Come on. I'll change it before the next game.
Yeah.
All right, but if you don't.
Sure. I agree to that. If I don't next, I will. No, 2 weeks, I will. Talk me through my fucking team then.
Now, you know what? No.
All right, fine. You're right.
As a soft 7 until next recording.
Sure.
And the day of recording. If you can't fucking come to studio, I'll chill. And then we remind you before recording that, and then you do it on the fly right before we start recording. No. Okay.
I'll change it within this calendar week. Anyways.
Great job on the week, change name. Great job on the week. 77 points. You had Kudus for 12 points. Eze for 6. And then you had Semenyo 18, Gabriel 9, Raya 6, Haaland captain 16. Good week from you.
Well played.
Say it.
Eze for 6 because he scored off of a rebound.
Eze didn't score.
No, because that counts as an assist in FPL.
Yeah.
So?
Kind of BS.
I mean,
I'm just saying.
It should have been more. He should have scored too, but.
What the fuck?
Anyways, big week from you, man. Are you looking at first or are you kind of.
No, I'm looking to stay second or third.
All right, good luck with
that. There's no way I can catch this guy with all due respect.
Thank you.
Good luck with that. This has been another episode, lads. Nothing else to really talk about. We are at an hour 40. This is normal for us.
What?
I think we were yapping a little bit before we actually started the thing. This may be including your little bump that you did.
Sure.
Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode of the 6-Yard Box Podcast. We hope you've enjoyed this week. We have very much enjoyed talking you through it. If you are watching on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, hit that little notification bell so you can never miss another episode of this absolute shithousery. If you are listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast, give us a little 5-star rating and let us know who's going to win La Liga. Is it going to be Barcelona? Is it going to be Real Madrid?
It's going to be Real Betis.
It's going to be Villarreal. Who will? Maybe Real Betis. Anyways. And on that being said, ladies and gentlemen, this has been myself, Miles, Blake, and Antoine, and we will see you all next week.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Yeah.